All right, Galatians chapter 1. Now, on Wednesday night, we finished up with verse 7. And I guess just by way of just a little bit of a review, just because not everybody was here, but in verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So the Galatian church is experiencing somebody coming in and perverting the gospel of Christ, okay? Now, one thing that we did settle on Wednesday night, according to Scripture, was that just the gospel that we preach. Now, we settled, let's see, go to Ephesians chapter 3 quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. So what we settled from the Scripture was that the only, that in this dispensation, and I emphasized this last week to say that that's not the word that I'm using. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not choosing that word and saying and inserting a way to interpret your Bible by saying dispensations. Okay? The Bible is saying that. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? And so Paul says in verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word." Now, that's the gospel that we preach. That is the only gospel that we preach. We preach that gospel. Go to Colossians chapter 1, a few books over, Colossians chapter 1. And then I'll have you keep your hand in Colossians here. I'm going to read one verse and then have you guys flip to Romans. But in Galatians 1, Paul says this, verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Again, this gospel that we're preaching is called the gospel of the grace of God, and the Lord defines it. If you will, I told Romans, but go to flip to Acts chapter 20. But the Lord says that this is the gospel of the dispensation of God. Okay, it's the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay, in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I myself my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And so the Lord revealed a gospel to Paul. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, he revealed something to Paul. It's the dispensation of the grace of God. And the Lord revealed this to Paul in Romans 16, 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began." Now, first off, before we go back to Colossians, Paul says, he says, "according to my gospel." Now, again, Paul, because the Lord revealed this to Paul, it was a gospel that was revealed to Paul. Paul, like, he takes ownership of it, and he calls it my gospel. Okay, and so that is, so sometimes you'll hear the gospel of the grace of God referred to that. Paul will call it my gospel, and that's what Paul preaches. Now, again, the Lord revealed that to him. And in verse 25, "according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret before since the world began." So the Lord revealed something to Paul that was never before revealed in all of the Bible. It was kept secret before since the world began, okay? So there was this revelation that the Lord was going to, and I said this on Wednesday, but that word dispensation, you cut that and you cut some of that ending off, and what do you have? Dispense. So what the Lord does is he can dispense things differently when he wants to. So, and if you can kind of think of that word when you think of dispensation. Now, dispensation, a lot of people will say it's a time period. And it's not a huge deal if we say that. If somebody says that, it's not like, you know, we're breaking fellowship. Nothing like that. But if you can think of dispensing, the Lord dispensing, the Lord handing something out, okay? So in the Old Testament, the Lord, we talked about the law of Moses. That's what the Lord dispensed to Israel, okay? That was what the Lord dispensed for salvation. Now, there's obviously a lot that goes into that because faith is involved there too. But he dispenses something. And so anyways, it says, according to the revelation of the mystery. And so this was a mystery that really for us is still a mystery. Now, it's been partially revealed, but to understand it is a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to wrap the mind around, okay? Go to Colossians chapter 1 again. Colossians 1, 15, or 25, Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid, again, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It was made manifest to the saints, so it was revealed to Paul. I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I'm not going to say too much about this. And I'll just say in general, Paul then revealed that to the rest of, the church. I don't want to get ahead of myself for other lessons, but so it was made manifest to his saints through Paul, okay? And verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So what is the mystery? What is the mystery that was, first of all, never revealed before? What was the mystery that nobody had ever taken part of? What is this mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That never took place until the New Testament. More specifically, until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we get saved according, I think it's Galatians 4, I think the Bible says that we receive the Spirit of his Son. Right? So, we get the Holy Spirit. No problems there. But that's the Spirit of his Son. And that's what we have inside of us. And that's a mystery. And it's kind of hard to, I mean, again, I have Jesus Christ inside of me. But no, Brother Chris has Jesus Christ inside of him. How can that be? Well, it's a mystery. And, it's funny because there's a church, probably a lot of them around here will say this, but they'll talk about that word mystery. And what they'll try to say is, well, in the Greek, it was something that was unknown. Well, yeah, but in the English, it's a mystery. What does the English say? I don't care what the Greek says. So that is the gospel that we preach, right? Now, we could try something else if you guys want. Go to Mark chapter 1. So that is the only gospel that we preach. We only preach the gospel of the grace of God, okay? And Paul said that was the gospel that Paul was given. That was the gospel that Paul preached. And so Paul says, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And so we pattern what we teach off of what Paul taught the church originally. Let's see, Mark chapter 1. So let's see if we can preach another gospel, right? Let's just see if we can do it. Mark chapter 1, look at verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So man, surely this voice has a gospel that we could preach, right? And that's John the Baptist. He's a great preacher, right? He is a man full of the Spirit of God. And so let's see what he has to say. Verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Well, we can't preach that, right? I mean, that gospel doesn't work, right? that right there, what do you, well, I'll just stop there. So in fact, just to prove that we can't preach that gospel, go to Acts chapter 18. Go to Acts chapter 18. So again, Christ hadn't died for sins yet. And so the Lord had a plan, and that first step in the New Testament was to have this gospel preached. And it is not something that we can preach. Here's the guy that does it, chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos. Now let me just stop here for a second. This is after Acts chapter 15. We all remember that Acts chapter 15 is where Peter and the church decided how a man was saved. It literally says that this is how you're saved. Okay? So this is after Acts 15, okay? A certain man named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. So surely this guy is preaching something that surely we could draw something from it, right? I mean, he was an eloquent man, but he's full of the scriptures. He's got to have something that we can preach. Well, what does it say? And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So we now have a guy who, what we would say in our dispensation, is preaching this gospel. He is preaching the baptism of John. John's baptism was the baptism for remission of sins. And this guy is teaching it. And look what happens. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So, I mean, this guy was a freak. I mean, he's probably a street preacher. He didn't care who it was. He had a message that he thought was from the Lord, and he was going to tell everybody about it. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Oh, so there were some things that he didn't have. He only had part of it. He didn't have the rest of the story. Verse 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped much... helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So again, you have a guy who is preaching that gospel, but it didn't work anymore. There was no reason to have sins remitted through baptism, because now there was something else to pay for the sin. It was Christ's blood. Let's see. So there's that. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 and go to Acts chapter 2. Now, in Acts chapter 10, you have a man who is praying, and he was a good man, and he's trying to get something from the Lord. Okay, he's trying to. Let's see, where does this start? Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. And so he was praying to God, and he, of course, through this we know that Peter winds up going and preaching to Cornelius. Peter was up on the rooftop, and he was praying. And of course, he saw he was in that trance where the Lord lets a big sheet down with all the unclean animals, and he says, "Right, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "Well, I can't eat that. That's all unclean." The Lord says, "Well, what I call clean, don't you call unclean, right?" And then those guys show up from Cornelius, and of course, they're Gentiles, they're unclean, and Peter starts to put together, "Oh Lord, you want me to go with these?" What were once unclean people, and preach to them. You want me to preach the gospel to them, okay? And so, anyways, so Peter goes and he's preaching to Cornelius, right? Now, the last time Peter preached, go to Acts 2 now. Go flip to Acts 2. Stay in Acts 10. In Acts chapter 2, what does Peter preach? In Acts chapter 2, verse, 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. So Peter is preaching. Sorry, I should have read verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear the words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. And so he's preaching to them, and he convinces them in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I said this earlier. They realize now they killed the deity, okay? They realize now who Jesus Christ was. And so what they had to do, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do for crucifying Christ? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So again, his baptism is a lot like John's. And that was what Peter preached. Now, in Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching again. And Peter starts to go through Jesus Christ, and he starts to preach to him Jesus Christ, but Peter never again preaches Acts chapter 2. He never does it. And he begins to preach unto them Jesus, and look what it says in 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that he feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Let's just keep going. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who sent about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, Peter is still preaching some things that we may not generally preach today. And things are beginning to change, and that's what I guess I'm wanting to say, is that Peter once was preaching Acts 2:38 and saying, you need to be baptized for your sins to be remitted. And now he's talking to these guys. And listen, after baptism, I think in Acts 2:38, I didn't read it, but it says to be baptized, and then you shall receive the Holy Ghost. We don't get baptized and then receive the Holy Ghost, right? We get saved, and that is our salvation, is receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter is preaching this. In verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So he is preaching the crucifixion, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And now look what happens. To him give all the prophets witness that, what? Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So now, Peter's preaching something that it is not the same. He's now telling them that you need to believe on the name of Jesus Christ to what? In him shall receive remission of sins. That's now how they're starting to receive remission of sins. It's not through a baptism of John. Now, Peter recognizes this, okay? Because in 10, read verse 44. Look what else happens. So Peter is preaching that they need to believe on the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And then he says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So now they're not being baptized and then receiving the Holy Ghost. They're believing and receiving the Holy Ghost. And look, I'm sorry, but it wasn't like that before this. That is not how they receive the Holy Ghost. And so he says, so now they're believing, okay? And in fact, verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now again, Peter recognizes this, because look what Peter says in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. And they were getting on Peter. And then Peter said, well, no, wait a second. Wait a second before you send me to the chopping block. Let me explain something. And Peter rehearsed the whole thing and started talking about how the Lord told him to go to preach to these Gentiles. And he goes, and as I was preaching with them, he said something happened. Look at verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So again, even Peter begins to kind of see the shift in the way that the Lord is now starting to dispense some things to people that he never dispensed. And he's dispensing to salvation through a man's name, through Jesus Christ. And now he's also dispensing it to the Gentiles. So again, the only gospel that we preach in this age is the gospel of the grace of God in this age. In this age, that's the only gospel that we preach, okay? Now, if you will, go back to Galatians chapter 1. So you look at the other gospels and what they have to say, and we'll probably see a few more of them here today. But listen, they don't work. They don't work for this time, okay? It doesn't work. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, in verse 8 and 9, you really see the importance of the gospel. And you really see what it means and how it shouldn't be tampered with. Paul, at the end of each verse, let him be accursed. He says, if a man or an angel comes and preaches something that is contrary to what I have told you now, he's damned. That's what he says. That's crazy. I mean, that is how important the gospel is. And listen, Paul does this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God tells Paul, you tell them what happens if somebody else is preaching another gospel. Paul doesn't compromise that. Like we have maybe seen some preachers compromise that and begin to kind of flirt with some things and flirt with different religions. And listen, Paul draws a very hard line. And listen, people don't like hard lines these days. And I really don't know when people really ever liked hard lines. But listen, it's an advantage to you because then it's so easy to say, oh, no, that's, nope, not that, right? And then you sit there, and when you hear the gospel, it's like, ah, that's it, right? That's what I should be preaching. That's what I should be listening to. And so listen, so if a man or an angel preaches any other gospel, he's damned, okay? Paul emphasizes it twice, okay? And at the end of verse 8, he says, let him be accursed. At the end of verse 9, let him be accursed, okay? And so again, he emphasizes this twice. Here's the thing. You can say, well, how can God say that? How can you even repeat that and say something like that? And I'll just say this. If a man is preaching something, he believes it. Right? I mean, a guy doesn't just get up and preach something he doesn't believe. Or he shouldn't. And so if he's preaching that, it's something he believes. And in here, it doesn't just... But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. So you think about it and listen, it is something that he is actively doing. It's not just the fact that, oh, he preached a gospel at one point, but no, he's preaching this gospel. He is actively telling people that your good works will get you to heaven, right? Any priest that is actively preaching that, he's not saved. He's getting it from the devil, and he's damned for it. You could say, well, how can you say that? Listen, you don't just become a priest overnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that you are actively brought up in. It is something that you are actively brainwashed in, okay? And listen, when you get that high up, you know what you believe. You know exactly what you're saying. And whether that man has been deceived because of what he's been teaching and the Lord allowed him to be deceived, maybe that's the case. But either way, listen, that is something that a man is actively believing. Right? We believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what we preach. Well, you have whole religions out there, and that's not what they're preaching. I'm jumping ahead of this, but I guess I'll say it now, but there's other religions out there, and you know what they have? An angel. And they have an angel that told them what to preach. And that thing is contrary to what this gospel is. And they're damned. And those people that preach that are damned. It's plain and simple. It's a hard line. But listen, here's the other question then. And this is kind of what I was wondering about was, or thinking about is, okay, well, what if a man, first of all, you can't say that a priest can't get saved, right? Now, he's currently damned, right? But listen, Martin Luther got saved. He received the light. He received the light of the gospel. So it's not saying that a man can't get saved. That's preaching another gospel, because he can. But while he's actively preaching that, he's damned, and that's where Martin Luther was. Martin Luther was damned. And he was damning people by what he was preaching. Now, he got saved, right? So it's not saying that a man can't get saved. Nobody can't get saved, right? I won't get into that. So listen, how do you draw the line? Well, where a man preaches the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, when he preaches the gift of God is received by grace through faith, that man is not under this curse. Now that makes sense because you'll look at men back in history. John Wesley taught salvation initially was by grace through faith, but then he taught you had to keep it by works and faith. But again, that initial thing where how does a man get saved? By receiving Jesus Christ as a Savior. That's the only thing that can get you into heaven. So this it allows kind of a buffer zone, right, of bad doctrine. So just because somebody teaches bad doctrine doesn't automatically mean that they're under this curse. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? I mean, they have to be preaching the gospel. If they're preaching a different gospel, okay, that's one thing. But if they're, again, if they're the blood atonement, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord, you receive Jesus by faith, okay, so he's okay. Now, it doesn't mean that he shouldn't change his doctrine, but, you know, you got to be careful about that. Charles Spurgeon was a Calvinist. He taught Calvinism. But again, he taught salvation was by grace through faith. Well, you know how many people were saved under John Wesley's ministry? Do you know how many people were saved under Charles Spurgeon's ministry? A lot of people were saved under those ministries. Okay, why? Because they taught salvation by grace through faith. They weren't teaching that a man has to do something to stay saved. Now, that's another thing. If a man teaches how to be saved, and he says, okay, now you gotta do this, and you gotta do this, and you gotta do this, and you gotta eat this, right? Okay, well, wait a second. That's how you're saved? You're damned. According to the Bible, you're damned. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. It's funny because I have had that verse memorized. I have known about that verse forever. But man, when you read that verse, it's a little shocking to read. And it's a little bit shocking to believe. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that teaches any other gospel and preaches it, he's damned. It's like, ooh. The Lord can shock everybody. You know what I'm saying? Matthew chapter 23. Look at what it says in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They're damned. You teach the wrong gospel, and you know what? You may make a proselyte. And you're helping them, you're helping damn them to hell with your gospel. Now listen, there are no back doors into heaven. You know what I'm saying? There's not like a little back door that says, if you're a really, 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 really good person. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like that. There are no back doors into heaven. There are no other possibilities. There is no other way. Now, in that light, this is why we show absolutely no respect whatsoever to any cults. Without any apologies, right? We don't hate Catholics, right? We don't. But we hate Catholicism, right? You absolutely abhor it according to this. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Now, it doesn't mean that you go and just pour a bunch of acid on them and just vitriol all over them. Individual Catholics, no. What do? You try to get them saved. But listen, they're damned under that religion. And listen, I have zero respect for a Mormon. No respect whatsoever. Absolutely none. A Muslim? None. Do they need to be saved? Absolutely. But I have zero respect. And neither should you. Okay, maybe admiring qualities. Well, they're faithful in what they believe and they go out and go tell everybody. Okay, whatever. But man, other than that, zero respect. And that's why we don't show any from this pulpit, right? Because listen, if any angel preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's damned. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. You just let the Bible draw the hard lines for you. And if that's not a hard line, man, that is a hard line. It is a clear line that the Lord draws. In verse 8, it says, but though we were an angel from heaven. Now this brings up another problem. Before I go into that, there's something by A.T. Robertson. He was a, what was this guy? He was a Southern Baptist preacher, and they call him a scholar. Well, let's see what he says about this verse. Paul is dogmatic and positive here. For he knows that he is standing upon solid ground, the fact of Christ dying for us and rising again. He had seen the risen Jesus Christ. No angel can change Paul now. And that may not sound that bad, but listen, first of all, no angel is trying to convince Paul. And the problem with that is this is a so-called Bible scholar. And you know what he does? He completely ignores, he totally misses something that is so blatant in the scriptures, okay? Now, my dad has gone through this recently, I think, but go to Revelation chapter 14. Everybody sees this coming, but Revelation chapter 14. And in Revelation chapter 14, this is one of the four accounts of the tribulation. And this is towards the end of the tribulation, excuse me. This is after the 144,000, I believe, are sealed. And look what it says in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having what? The everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, and saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and the worship of him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And so you have here in Revelation, I mean, Paul was so clear. If any angel is preaching another gospel, he's damned. Well, you got an angel preaching another gospel. We are not preaching the everlasting gospel. And he's preaching that, and he's not damned. What's going on, right? I mean, there's got to be some sort of misunderstanding. Maybe there's a mistranslation or something. No. I mean, you read it right. There is an angel in heaven flying around, and he's going to bring this message down to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And he's going to preach an everlasting gospel to them. He's going to preach something, and you know what? Look what it says that he preaches. Saying with a loud voice, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved. No. No. It didn't say that at all. It's a totally different gospel, and he's not damned. Now again, that's why I said in this age, during this dispensation, God has dispensed something to us to preach. But listen, our gospel is not the correct gospel to preach to these people at the end of the tribulation. If it is, then why isn't the angel preaching it? And he's not. So again, something is going on. Let's see. So, just like the Lord dispensed the law to Moses, and Moses dispensed that out and was given that, Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. He has now dispensed, what, an everlasting gospel to an angel to preach. Listen, if there's not divisions in your Bible, your Bible contradicts. And I'm sorry, I know it's kind of like the thing that we quote all the time, but you have to be able to rightly divide your Bible. I heard some dork on the internet once, and he was trying to prove how divided doesn't actually mean divide, and blah, blah, blah. And he had verses to prove a point, and you know what? Maybe in other way, whatever. He's trying to prove that. And so you don't, that it doesn't actually mean divide. Then what do you do with this? My Bible has contradictions in it. And so you have this gospel, and he's preaching it, and he's preaching it to all that dwell on the earth at the end of the tribulation, okay? So the gospel that we have now is far different from the gospel in the tribulation. That's obvious. Okay, the everlasting gospel is a different gospel, okay? If that angel came down right now and preached that gospel, he would be damned. Period. Because he's trying to get people into heaven through some other way. He's getting them to believe something else, okay? It would be contrary to the gospel, the grace of God. But again, for the tribulation, it's the right one. So how do we view everything through We view everything through the gospel of the grace of God. Everything. In this time that we're in this period that we're in, everything goes through the gospel of the grace of God. Let's see another gospel. Matthew chapter 24. And again, we don't even have to get into all of them. I mean, there's a lot of gospels in the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 23, no, Matthew chapter 24, I'm sorry. Listen, you shouldn't just preach any gospel, right? It has to be a specific gospel. Let's see, chapter 24, and look what it says in verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, you guys know verse 3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Verse 6, but the end is not yet. We understand that this is talking about the tribulation, okay? But listen, let's preach that gospel then. Let's see if it works. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what gospel is this? It's a different gospel. It says, I'm not putting words in there. It literally says it is not the gospel of the grace of God. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's not our gospel. You can't just preach any other gospel. People don't like fundamentalists. They don't like. They will believe some bit of dispensations, but as soon as you start getting into this and making distinctions, they hands off. Like, no, we don't want any part of that. Well, what do you do with it then? If you say it's not true, then you tell me how I apply that. Right? How do you apply it? Well, it's a different gospel. It is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So again, you can't preach that. You better not preach that, because that's another gospel, okay? And you don't want to get it mixed up. So now only one has been dispensed to us, okay? They're not the same, because of obvious contradictions, okay? Go back to Galatians chapter 1. I already kind of said this, but I'll say it again. In Galatians 1:8-9, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay, so picking up any gospel can get you damned, okay? This verse is very revealing because it reveals the origins of other religions. Now you have Mormonism, and Joseph Smith supposedly had the angel Moroni appear to him, right? Now, that one's so easy. You know why? It's another angel. It's an angel, right? It's another gospel, right? We did a kitchen for a guy, super nice. Come to find out, he's Mormon. And we were talking, and this was when Aaron was still working with us. So this is like, I don't know, six, seven years ago. And man, we were talking, and he was a super nice guy. And he would use the Bible where he could. And we never got into it too much. But he kept talking about how, oh, no, well, we believe the Bible as far as it can be translated, you know, because man can make mistakes. You know, of course, the Book of Mormon, that's written by an angel, so that can't be a mistake, you know, and all that. And it's just like, you dirty rascal, you'll use that Bible wherever it works for you. But as soon as you show him this verse, oh, well, yeah, well, that's wrong, you know. It's like, why? Right? Anyways, sorry, that's a little sidetracked there. But so you have the angel Moroni, right? He's out. You have Islam, you had Jibril show up to Muhammad. That's Gabriel, the angel, 600 wings, right? That's out. Now, I know that one's obvious, but again, there's things like that where you can just say, nope, out. Why? Because he's an angel preaching another gospel, okay? And listen, I'll tell you where it comes from. The origin comes from hell. That's where it comes from. And you need to understand that. All right, chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now listen, in light of verse 8 and 9, right? When you read that verse in light of verse 8 and 9, we see here that Paul's main concern was not to please men whatsoever. I mean, he didn't care. I mean, you know how many people probably abhorred what Paul was saying? And he just drew that line and it didn't matter. But listen, after reading verse 8 and 9, there is absolutely no doubt left in your mind where Paul stands. And he does not care what you think. The Bible doesn't care what you think. As long as you disagree with the Bible, it whatever. Next, right? And that's the truth. But where you agree with that book, man, what if we walk in the light as he is in the light? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, cleanses us from all sin. You want to make sure you're in that light. Because you want to make sure you have fellowship there. I will go ahead and stop there. There's a little bit to go in with that verse, but we'll go ahead and stop there. And we'll get started at 11. Yes, sir.